Hello again, this is Mace Hara for the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the free podcast for medical sales professionals. When people contact me, it's usually because they have a problem. And the problem is usually that they're not selling enough. They want to sell more. And the reason they're not selling more could be due to a whole host of problems. They have difficult customers. If you sell in healthcare, tell me, are there some difficult customers out there? You bet there are, whether it's a doctor or a therapist or a nurse or an administrator in a hospital. There are tough customers everywhere. So there's lots of reasons why people can have some problems with not selling as much as they'd like to sell. But there is really one reason that I found through my 30 plus years of experience in the medical device industry as to why certain sales professionals aren't selling as much as they need to sell. And here's what it is. They're not preparing the right way. Now, some of you are bristling when you hear that. You're saying, okay, here we go, Mace, the preparation thing again. Yeah, I know. You want us to take lots of time the day before the sales call, even right before the sales call. You want us to know all kinds of information. And that is true. But there's actually more to it than that. You see, being a medical sales professional, it's got so many moving parts. It has the part where you have to really be an expert at what you're selling. Now, again, you don't have to have the level of knowledge that your customers have because it's pretty much unlikely. If you're selling to, let's say, a neurosurgeon, you're never going to have as much knowledge about neurosurgery as the neurosurgeon will. But that's okay because you don't need to have that level of knowledge that he has. You just need to have expertise in your product and also your competitor's product. And today, you better know something about healthcare economics. How does that product get paid for? So that's really the first area that needs to be addressed. You have to develop that expertise. And you don't develop it one time and then never touch it again. Healthcare is dynamic. In fact, it's incredibly dynamic. Not only is the science of medicine changing and the ways that healthcare and diseases are addressed, but also, again, the whole business of medicine is changing. So if you're not reading constantly at every opportunity to stay current on the information that you need to know to sell your product, you're already behind the eight ball. So let's assume that you've done your homework, you read constantly, you stay up to date, you have the knowledge that's required for your industry. Here's where most reps blow it. They don't articulate their sales message as well as they should. Why is that? Well, I can tell you from coaching thousands of salespeople, it's because they don't practice. There's really two kinds of knowledge for what we're talking about today. There's knowledge, and then there's usable knowledge. Usable knowledge is when you have the ability to actually apply that knowledge or to articulate that knowledge to somebody else. And here's where sales reps often get into trouble. They go to the company-sponsored training seminar and they become familiar with all the information about their new product or about how that product is applied. And then they go out into the field and they have a familiarity, but what they don't have is the ability to articulate that knowledge into a compelling sales conversation with their customers. Why? Because they haven't practiced it. Sometimes at these quote-unquote sales training seminars that companies put on, there may be some role play. The role play is usually very short, usually one, two, or three rounds, and that's it. They expect the sales rep to go home and to continue to practice. What do most sales reps do? They don't practice. They just get into their cars, they drive to their customer's office, and they go out and they wing it. Wing it as in make it up as they go. In fact, an interesting study from Clemson University that I've talked about before shows that sales reps, if they've only been through average training seminars where they hear the information once or twice, do you know what 80 to 90% of their message is when they get in front of their customers? It's stuff that they made up. Sales reps are making things up. Here's why this is important. When I was selling, I always wanted to know as much as I could about my competition. But the main thing I wanted to know was, how good are they? The person who could always tell me this the best was the customer. So when I'd be with a customer, I'd say something along the lines of, "So, Dr. Smith, has my new competitor, Bob, been in to see you?" The doctor would usually say, "Yeah, Bob has called on me." I'd say, "So he seems like a pretty good guy. Does he know his stuff?" Here's where it would get interesting, because doctors, that like the doctors I called on, they very often can't hide their emotions, how they feel about somebody. And again, you have to understand that doctors are no-nonsense people. They're experts, and they can smell it when somebody doesn't know their job, doesn't have the level of information that they should have. And it's funny because, like, Dr. Smith would say to me, Bob's a nice guy, Mace, but I tell you, he was in here and I asked him some questions and he still seems pretty green. He really doesn't know what's going on. And I would follow it up with, "So are you saying that he doesn't really have the level of knowledge where you'd want to take him into the operating room with you?" And very often the answer would be, no, not yet. You know, I think he'll come around, but he's not there yet. So this would always have me thinking, how can somebody who's calling on, in my case, you know, a surgeon, how could they go into a surgeon, an expert, and not be fully versed and prepared, especially with what they're going to say when you're using all of these fancy medical terms and having to answer a doctor's questions? Now, the reality is, if you've got stellar sales skills, I mean really, really good selling skills, and you know how to handle objections, if a doctor asks you a question you don't know, you could pretty much deflect the question, and if you're really good, you can get the doctor to answer the question for himself or tell you enough information so that you're able to answer it, or to at least seem like you have some level of intelligence with regard to what you're talking about. But here's what a lot of sales reps do. As soon as the doctor hits them with a question they can't answer, they get this deer in the headlight look, and then they start stuttering and stammering, try and answer the question. "Well, doctor, well, it's true that, you know, we've got a lot of data backing that up, but I think that, you know, what we, it'll work. Did I sound very confident? Your customers, one of the things they buy from you is confidence. You have to be confident to make them feel confident, because if they're not confident with what you're selling, they're certainly not going to use it on their patients. Companies frequently bring me in to work with and coach their underperforming sales reps. And here's why they do it. Number one, their managers don't want to do it. Or number two, their managers suck at doing it. Because the managers have too much skin in the game. The managers are focused on keeping the numbers high so that the manager looks good. The manager gets his or her bonus, as opposed to really developing the talents of the sales representative. I don't have any skin in the game, so I look at it and I see things as they are and I tell it like it is. And here's something I find very often, is that the sales representative might be a good sales representative, but the sales representative often overestimates his or her skills. He or she thinks that he or she knows more than they actually do, or they think they have a better ability to articulate the thoughts and knowledge that they have than they do. There's only one way to put this to the test, and that's to go out in the field and watch them in front of actual customers, not in a role play situation, but in front of real customers where the real pressure is turned on because the stakes are high. And this is one of the other things that sales reps frequently forget about. They forget about how high the stakes are. You may only have one opportunity to impress a customer or to deliver your message to the customer. If it doesn't resonate with them, they're going to turn you off and you're not going to get into their office to have the same conversation again. They might let you in to talk about something else, but if you were talking about your product, the widget, let's just call it, in their minds, they've already established their decision on whether or not to use your widget, and they're probably not going to let you in again to discuss the widget because they don't have the time. So the stakes are high. When you go in there, you have to look at every sales call as one chance, because that's really what it is. Now, if you do good the first time, you may have the opportunity to come back and talk about it again and again, because in medical sales, it's very rare that the sale is a one-call close. Usually there are multiple follow-ups that are required to do this. But you have to recognize that the stakes are high and you have to do it well the first time. So let's go back to when I'm working with sales representatives again and they get in front of the customer. They don't articulate their sales argument very well at all. In fact, usually what they do is the data dump. They show up and throw up. You've heard all of the sales cliches about this. They just get in front of the customer and blah, 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 blah. It's interesting because when I ask sales representatives if they use questions in their presentations, they say yes, but they might ask one or two, and they're usually woefully ineffective questions. They don't do it well. And the reason is, again, because they didn't prepare. So after going on sales calls with somebody, and for example, let me tell you someone who I worked with recently. I'm going to call her Debbie because if I used her real name, it's a very unusual name and everyone would know who I'm talking about. So I want to protect Debbie's identity. But I went on a call with Debbie and I know that she'd been studying very hard to learn her product. She told me when she gets in front of the doctors, it just doesn't click. She can't get any commitment. So again, her perception of how a sales call goes is very different than what I saw. I went in and Debbie started the sales call the way a lot of medical sales reps start, which is to say, hi, doctor, I'm here to talk to you today about my widget. And then Debbie launched into telling the doctor everything she could think of about the product. And when she was done, she said, do you have any questions? And the doctor said, no, thank you very much for coming by. She said, do you think this is something you'd like to use in your practice? And the doctor said, well, I don't know, let me think about it. And she said, great, call me if you're interested. Does this sound familiar? By the way, if this sounds like any of your sales calls, you really need to fix it because this is a horrible, horrible sales call. We walked out of there and this is what amazed me. Debbie thought it went pretty well. I said, Debbie, tell me, why do you think it went well? She said, well, the doctor seemed to be engaged. He was listening. He was nodding his head and he said he would consider it. I said, what do you mean he'll consider it? He said, well, he'll think about it. So Debbie, he said he'll think about it. Let me ask you a question. How much do you get paid for a customer telling you that he'll think about it? And she laughed. She said, well, that's part of my problem. I can't really get them to commit. Well, we went back to the sales presentation and we took a long break. We went to lunch and went through all of the different parts. But one thing that I noticed during the sales presentation is that when there were certain parts of the presentation which were very technical, where she had to articulate something clinical, she really struggled with it. During lunch, I said, well, let's just take one piece. And she pulled out a brochure. I said, this is it. I just want you, like you're having a conversation with me, articulate this part of the sales message. And she went through it and it was very rough. I said, do it again. Well, after about 15 minutes of practicing and her laughing and getting frustrated, she was able to articulate it very, very smoothly. And I said, okay, Debbie, it just took you about 15 minutes to be able to articulate one sentence in your sales presentation. Obviously, your sales presentation consists of many, many more sentences. Do you understand that you need to practice every sentence, every part of the message in your sales presentation? And she says, yeah, I guess so. She says, but it's going to take a lot of time. I said, yeah, to be honest with you, that's really what you get paid for. You get paid for the time that you spend practicing and preparing. Because when you go to deliver it, that's the easy part. That will be very easy for you and it'll resonate with the customer if you do everything else right in the sales presentation. But the most basic thing, being able to articulate the sales message, she couldn't do it. Most sales reps can't do it. And the reason they can't do it is because they don't practice it. And the reason they don't practice it is because they have a familiarity and they think that they can do it. Winging it, folks, doesn't work well. That's why in almost every industry in the world where lives are on the line, there are practice, and practice requirements for the professionals involved. There are also performance minimums. And if those performance minimums aren't met, bad things happen. In every sales call that you make with a customer, every sales call, there is a lot at stake. Because what you say or don't say or how you say it is going to leave a lasting impression with that customer. And if it's not a good one, it can cost you a lot, not only in terms of lost sales and the financial implications, but even your career over time. If you're not practicing and preparing on a regular basis, someone who is going to steal your business and eat your lunch. Let me end by sharing my favorite quote with you. Here it is. The more you sweat at practice, the less you'll bleed in battle. Don't know who said it, but it certainly applies to what you do every day. I hope you'll take this message that I've shared with you today very, very seriously, because there's probably nothing more important in terms of you being able to develop the success that you want and that your company wants than your ability to prepare and practice. Thanks for spending some time with me today on the Medical Sales Guru podcast. I hope you'll come back and visit again and send me some emails about any topics that you would like me to cover in the future. You could email me at mace@medicalsalestraining.com. And don't forget why you do what you do, because whatever you do, nothing is ever more important than the patient. The patient, my friends, always comes first. Go out there and sell something and make a difference. I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.